Palm Sunday, the day we remember Jesus walking into Jerusalem. But why? The Bible says he resolutely set himself to go to Jerusalem. Why? Because fig leaves won't work. Why Palm Sunday? Why Easter? Why this celebration that takes place around the world this time of the year? Because fig leaves won't work. Everyone recognizes the story of Adam and Eve. So let's go to the beginning and ask the question and answer the question. Why Palm Sunday? And why do fig leaves not work? Everyone recognizes the story of Adam and Eve in the garden. Even unbelievers know the story, though they question its reality. The story goes like this. God puts Adam in a wonderful and peaceful garden paradise. He gives Adam dominion and authority over all of that's in the garden, even over the earth itself. In Genesis 2:8, it says, "Then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he placed the man, Adam, that he had made. The Lord God made all sorts of trees grow up from the ground, trees that were beautiful and produced delicious fruit. And in the middle of the garden," and let me pause for a moment for our visitor's sake. Every scripture that I plan to use today is listed on the back of the bulletin. And I do that so that everyone can test the scriptures yourself. You'll have them. You can look at context later. Also, there are underlines on your bulletin. They'll be marked in yellow on the screen beside me if you want to try to keep up with me today. So you can write those down. In the middle of the garden, he placed the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There were all kinds of wonderful and delicious trees in the garden, but there were two special trees in the center of the garden, two trees that symbolized freedom and free will. And God didn't want Adam and Eve to be pre-programmed robots without choice. And for there to be choice, there must be choices. Two trees in the garden. In all God's wonderful creation, there's only one thing that's out of bounds to Adam: the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the middle of the garden. Verse 15. The Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend it and to watch over it. But the Lord God warned him, "You may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden." Remember, this comes as a warning from God. "You can freely eat from any tree in the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if you eat its fruit, you are sure to die." It's a deadly fruit tree. It is a tree that would be marked by disobedience. Now, bear in mind that all of this took place before God made Eve from Adam's rib. God clearly told Adam that he could eat of any tree in the garden except one, that one tree would bring certain death. And up to that point, no one, nothing experienced death. No one even knew about death. It had not yet occurred upon the earth. And it's after that verse that God gives Adam a helper. He gives Adam a mate. He gives Adam a wife. Verse 21. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while the man slept, the Lord God took out one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. And then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man. At last, the man exclaimed, "This one is bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken from man." This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Now the man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. We call this the first wedding ceremony, when God ordains the ceremony and two become one. Now, 30 years ago, I wouldn't need to add this point, but maybe I do today. When God ordained that moment, it was intended specifically for one man and one woman. And this would be God's way, that he would produce life upon the earth. Now, notice that last verse again. Now, the man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. They felt no shame because they had nothing to be ashamed of. They had done no wrong in their relationship with God, and they had done no wrong in their relationship with each other, so why would they know shame? We don't know how long it took. The Bible doesn't say. It is indeed a mystery. We don't know how long it took, but we do know what happens next in this story of our ancestors. The serpent came and offered another word in the garden of God's creation. Now, this is an important point. The serpent comes after God has already given his word to Adam, and then he gave his word to Eve about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But the serpent comes and he's got another word. And the reason I make a big deal out of that is the serpent still does that today. He comes and offers an alternate word to the original word called truth. God has told Adam, you eat of this tree, you will certainly, surely die. But there's another word because there's another spirit that comes with some power into the garden. Another word that would actually contradict the original word about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that's in the middle of the garden. Let's go to verse 1, chapter 3. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, did God really say? Do you see? Here comes the other word. He's going to try to contradict the original word, which was given by the Creator to the created Adam. Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? Now, he's talking to Eve in this scene. Of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. It's only fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we're not allowed to eat. And God said you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you'll die. You won't die. Here comes another word. It's another word that contradicts the original word. And now there's two words. Which word will I listen to? The one from the Creator or the one from this other person, the serpent in the garden? You won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you'll be like God. And when you become like God, you can do whatever you want to whenever you want to, because you can be your own authority, your own power. You can become your own source of truth. And you can decide right and wrong for yourself. And you won't have to listen to him anymore to tell you about a tree. You can be like God. And you can know good and evil for yourself. So now we know that she knows what Adam knows. Eating from that one tree will bring death and violate the one thing that God had made out of bounds. The only thing that he said you can't touch. Go to verse 6. The woman was convinced. And I'm going to stop for a moment and say this. She believed the other word. There's two words. There's two sources. One truth and one's a liar. She believed the liar, the other word. And listen, the story of man pretty much follows the same trend from that day forward. There are two words. I believe what I hold in my hand is the only physical source of absolute truth on the earth. It's the Word of God. And many of you believe it as that, and some of you, maybe not all of it, because you've listened to another word from another source. Maybe you think you can decide on your own that truth yourself. But today, that's going to become the storyline. She believed, she was convinced, verse 6. She saw that the tree was beautiful. Its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom that it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it, and then she gave some to her husband who was with her, he ate it too. And at that moment, something happens. Every one of us in the room, we're affected by this moment. This moment, we are all in the story. And at that moment, their eyes were opened. And they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. Adam and Eve have suddenly gone from naked and felt no shame to naked and fully ashamed. And what was their answer to their naked and ashamed moment? Fig leaves. Let me ask everyone today in the audience a fundamental question at this point. Will fig leaves work? Will they? Will fig leaves, let me put it another way, will fig leaves fix what just happened in the garden? Because that's the idea. Will fig leaves fix what just happened in the garden? Will fig leaves fix Adam and Eve, this broken relationship between Adam and Eve and God? Adam and Eve immediately knew that they had done wrong. Did you notice that? In the moment, they knew they had done wrong, and their answer was what? Their answer is what? Run to God and ask him, what do we do now? Their answer is what? I will on my own find a way to cover my sin, my shame, my nakedness. Why do you think they suddenly felt they needed to do something? Guilt is upon them. I know it might sound a little crazy, but it seems like they think these fig leaves over their private parts is going to fix this dilemma. But fig leaves don't work. Let me explain the picture and the reason I picked this today. This is a painting of Michelangelo on the Sistine Chapel 500 years ago. It took him like 3-4 years to paint this. And the idea is the ability for a man to touch God. They don't actually touch in his painting. Who knows what all is in his mind as he paints this magnificent sculpture. Fig leaves won't work. I had to use letters to cover that part myself. And I had a hard time finding enough letters in the right spot too. I want you to notice that they don't ask God what to do. If you study this story, maybe that'd be the first thing that might bring wonder. Rather than asking God what to do, they come up with a plan on their own how to make it right with God. They take upon themselves to choose the fig tree leaf approach to their problem. And some of you might today come to a Palm Sunday service and say, what in the world does this have to do with Palm Sunday? And my answer is everything. Everything. And by the end of this service, if you stay awake, you're going to find out what that is. The Bible students in the room, you know what happens next. Verse 8. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. Can you imagine that scene? Kind of gives me cold chills. You see, they knew what fellowship with God was. And now they're going to experience what broken fellowship with God is. So they hid themselves from among the trees. That's not how they used to do it. So they hid themselves among the trees, and then the Lord God called to the man, where are you? And he replied, I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked. Who told you that you were naked? The Lord God asked. Have you eaten from the trees, from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat? It's a command in this sentence. So let me start with this thought about fig leaves. They must not be working. Because Adam still feels naked in his encounter with God. He says, I was afraid because I was naked. So the fig leaves didn't really fix anything, did they? Today, I'm going to ask a huge question to the church, and I'll do it a couple of times on this Palm Sunday. So here it comes. Are you ready? Just nod your head, because it'll go much smoother if you do. Who told you that you were naked before God, and what are you going to do about it? You see, we're in this story. Sin has been uncovered in Adam's life. And when he encounters God, he's afraid. So who told you that you were naked before God, and what are you going to do about it? I'm going to go ahead and tell you up front that fig leaves won't work. And fig leaves represents man's attempt to bridge the gap and restore the relationship that occurs by our sin and rebellion against God. God said, who told you, Adam, that you were naked? Who told you that you are now covered with shame? Who told you? Let's start there. When they ate the forbidden fruit, they immediately felt shame and saw their nakedness before God. In that moment, it's interesting to me that the Bible says it's like instantaneously they saw something they'd never seen before. Church, at what point did that happen to you? When did you know that you were naked and filled with shame before God? When did you know that left uncovered, you would need to hide from him? When did that come to your attention? This story is from Genesis chapter 3. It's the very beginning of human ancestry. But the same story comes up again in the end of human history that is prophesied by our Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus reveals this to the church in Laodicea. So in the beginning, you've got Adam and Eve, our ancestors, and they're covered with shame, so they fig leaves on because maybe that'll get us back into the presence of God. But you got to understand, God's writing the story, and he reveals it to Jesus, to the Apostle John, on the Isle of Patmos. We call it the Revelation. Revelation 3:15. Look at the beginning, and now look at the end. Jesus says, I know all the things you do. So all the fig leaves that you think you're going to use to cover up the sin of your life, they won't work. I know all the things you do. And by the way, listen, this letter is to a church. It's not to pagans. It's not to unbelievers. It's to a church. I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were one or the other, but since you're like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, church, I will spit you out of my mouth. You say, church people, I am rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. And so you don't realize that you, from God's perspective, are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and what? Naked. So what are you going to do about that? Who told you you were naked? What are you going to do about that? So I advise you, Jesus said, to buy gold from me, not from the world. Buy gold from me, gold that may be purified, that has been purified by fire. Then you'll be rich. And also, I advise you to buy white garments from me. The gold will come from him. The white garments will come from him so that you will not be shamed by your nakedness, and ointment for your eyes so that you'll be able to see. I correct and discipline everyone I love. So be diligent and turn from this lukewarmness, from this indifference. Church, turn. Cover your nakedness. In the beginning, Genesis, and in the end, Revelation, we are naked and ashamed before God. Our sin has been uncovered. Who told you that you were naked today? Do you know that you are naked before God and fig leaves won't work? Do you know that he knows everything about you and you can do whatever you want to cover that sin up, but when you encounter him, he already knows. and fig leaves won't work. Today, I want to suggest that fig leaves in today's discussion represent religion and human traditions. Fig leaves today will be illustrated by religion and human traditions. Religion is man's attempt to cover our shameful nakedness before God. Religion is designed by man, to cover up our sins, just like fig leaves. Religion comes in many fig leaf forms, but I tell you today that fig leaves, they won't work. It's so interesting to me that Adam and Eve immediately knew that they had done wrong, and they immediately knew what? What did you notice something? I need to do something. I have transgressed the laws of God. I have broken the commandment of God. I need to do something to correct that wrong. So what did they come up with? They came up with fig leaves. Let's cover it up. And if we can cover it up somehow or another, maybe he won't notice our sin. Fig leaves are equal to, listen carefully, they are equal to religion without truth. The world is filled with religion without truth. Fig leaves are man's way to recover from sin and shame, and they won't work. Religion tells us that we can do this or we can do that and suddenly make ourselves right with God again. And it's a natural human response that I've broken the relationship, broken the commandment, so I'll go on my own, under my own volition. I will come up with this and that. I'll do this, I'll do that, and I won't do this, and I won't do that. And suddenly, I'll be all right with God again. And it's just like putting on fig leaves. It won't work. But you feel like it will, but it won't. When the truth is this, you ready? We can't do anything to make ourselves right with God again. Some of you are distressed by the statement, but I'm telling you the truth. We can't do anything to make ourselves right with God. And that's why Jesus entered Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Church, when did you come to that truth? Or maybe you're here in the audience today and you can honestly say you've never really come to that truth about your shameful nakedness before God, that your sins are still uncovered. For others, when did you find out that you were naked before God? Maybe today will be that day for you when you understand your true condition before God. So here comes the truth. There is nothing we can do on our own. There is nothing we can do on our own to restore a broken and naked relationship with God. And what does this have to do with Palm Sunday? It's everything. We can't, but God can. And fig leaves won't work. Do you know how God responded to Adam and Eve standing before him in fig leaves? In fact, I got to tell you, when I got to that part of the message and I started thinking about it, I think about Adam standing behind a tree covered with fig leaves when he hears God coming in the cool of the day and how silly he must have looked. And I think about us when we come before God and we try to cover our sin with religion and tradition and whatever it might be, just how silly we must look before God. How silly. Do you really think that's going to work? Do you know how God responded to Adam and Eve standing before him in fig leaves? That's the next part of the story. So Adam and Eve immediately see their sin. They go get fig leaves. They make some kind of a covering. They find themselves now in the presence of God. It's at this point in Genesis chapter 3 that God does what? He places a curse on Adam. He places a curse on Eve. And he places a curse on the serpent. As you can see, fig leaves aren't working. If the next thing after fig leaves is a curse, get rid of the fig leaves. because fig leaves aren't working. They are receiving the curse of God, the curse of death, and painful toil upon the earth. They are going to, in that point, listen, not only are they going to get a curse, they're going to be escorted out of the garden of God's presence. They must leave the garden of God's presence while they get a curse. But I want you to notice two things in this next scene. Two things, two amazing things from God. And they are not from man, they are from God. Why? Because fig leaves aren't working. Two things done by God, and they are both listed in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. God's talking, this is the curse, he's passing out curses. And when I get to verse 15, he's talking to Satan, the serpent. And I, God, will cause hostility between you, Satan, and the woman, Eve. And between your offspring and her offspring, he, the offspring of woman, I'll call him the son of man, will strike your head, serpent, and you will strike his heel. That's number one. Number two, this is from God. It's not from Adam. It's not from Eve. It's not from man. This is from God. God's going to do something, and he tells it to the serpent. The woman's seed, the son of man, is going to one day in the future crush your head. You will strike his heel. That'll be the cross. But he will crush your head. That'll be victory over death. Here comes number two. Both are in Genesis 3. And the Lord God made clothing. Right now they're covered with fig leaves. And the Lord God made clothing from animal skins and for Adam and his wife. And then the Lord God said, look, the human beings have become like us, knowing both good and evil. What if they reach out and take fruit from the tree of life and eat it? Then they would live forever. They'd live forever in their sin. So the Lord God banished them from the Garden of Eden. He sent Adam out to cultivate the ground from which he had been made. And after sending them out, the Lord God stationed mighty cherubim, those are angels, to the east of the Garden of Eden. And he placed a flaming sword that flashed back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. Fig leaves aren't working. They won't work. But God has shown what will work, and he introduces it in Genesis chapter 3 because God's plan is I'm going to redeem them. I love mankind that I created for myself, and I'm making a plan to redeem them. Two things that God only can do. Fig leaves aren't working. Two things, and they're both recorded. Number one, the woman's seed will crush the serpent's head in the future. It is a revelation of Palm Sunday's events. In the future, the seed of woman, the son of man, is what Jesus refers to himself as, the fulfillment of Daniel's prophecy, will crush the serpent's head. Number two, God made a covering for man, not fig leaves, but a blood sacrifice. He took animal skins and took the fig leaves off and took animal skins and covered. And it's not just about covering your physical body. It's about covering your sin. Blood would now be required to cover the nakedness of man. Blood. Fig leaves won't work, but God is revealing what will work and what will cover our shame. God is showing a way back into his presence, a way back in, a way out of our shameful nakedness, a way back into the Garden of Eden as he escorts them out of the garden. Think about the love and purpose of God. As he escorts Adam and Eve out of the garden, he announces a way for mankind to get back into the garden in the same scene. All of that background is to say this today to the church. Religion without truth is like fig leaves before God in the Garden of Eden. Practicing religion without truth is like fig leaves before God in the Garden of Eden. And what is religion without truth? The idea that you and I can do something to make us right with God. That you and I can do it. And what is that religion? That we have the power to redeem ourselves before God. That religion is the idea that I can make me right with God if I do something or if I stop doing something. No. It won't work. All of my religious somethings are like fig leaves before God in the Garden of Eden. It looks silly. I love how Dr. David Reagan puts it. This is the best way I can describe it. Dr. David Reagan says, of all the world's religions, and man, there are a bunch, of all the world's religions, they all say do. Except the gospel of Jesus Christ that says done. It's done. This is the foundation of the doctrine that the church calls justification by faith, fulfilling the two items from Genesis 3. How do I fulfill the two items of Genesis 3? The woman's seed will crush the serpent's head. God did it, not me. God was going to offer a blood sacrifice to cover the nakedness of the descendants of Adam. God did it, not me. I didn't do one and I didn't do two. I didn't do either one of them. God did it. What was the sacrifice? In the time of Adam and Eve, an animal had to die to cover the shameful nakedness of Adam and Eve. Blood. The animal didn't sacrifice his hide without sacrificing its blood. And who took the blood of the animal? Adam? No. Eve? No. God. It took blood. So what about us today? Let's fast forward 4,000 years past Adam into the church age. Hebrews 9, verse 18. That is why even the first covenant was put into effect with the blood of an animal. When God first comes to Abraham, the man in which he would create a people called the children of God. When God comes to Abraham, what happens? Blood. He enters into a covenant. Blood. He enters into a relationship. Blood. Abraham is unclean. He's a holy man, but he's unclean. He's sinful. Everybody from Adam is sinful. So what do we need to make Abraham now able to be the man of God through which he will raise up the children of God upon planet Earth? Blood. Listen to what he says. For this is why even the first covenant was put into effect with the blood of an animal. For Moses, now let's jump from Abraham to Moses. For after Moses had read each of God's commandments to all the people, he took the blood of calves and goats along with water and sprinkled both the blood, both the book of God's law and all the people using hyssop branches and scarlet wool. Blood, 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 blood. Fig leaves won't work. It's blood. Verse 20, then he said, the blood confirms the covenant God has made with you. And in the same way, he sprinkled blood on the tabernacle and on everything used for worship. There's blood everywhere. In fact, according to the law of Moses, nearly everything was purified with bleach. No. Purified with fig leaves, purified with religion, purified with man doing this. No. Purified with blood. For without the shedding of blood, church, you listening? There is no forgiveness. Can you see now why fig leaves won't work? Do you see now why man-made religion won't work? Man-made ritual, I'll do this, but I won't do this anymore. Why it won't work? So let me ask a foolish question to make this point. Do you think it would be possible for Adam and Eve to fool God with fig leaves covering them that day? Do you think Adam and Eve could, they know they've done something wrong, they got to do something, so they get out the fig leaves and whoop them together and somehow or another walk up to meet God and Like, he won't notice. I mean, I do that to make a silly point to illustrate a real point. Do you really think that God's not going to notice that not only do you look real stupid in those fig leaves, this won't work. Man-made religion is just as stupid as that scene. It won't work. Why? Listen carefully. God knows our hearts. You might be faking out everybody around you in your life, but you're not faking out God today. God knows our hearts, and no one is going to fool God with fig leaf religious acts of self-righteousness. So today on this Palm Sunday, I just want to say that some of this is kind of heavy today, but in the middle of the heavy, I've got this wonderful good news. The Apostle Paul writes a letter. He encountered Jesus. And he heard from him, he saw him with his eyes, heard from him with his own ears. And in his encounter, he has this wonderful good news. And the good news is God did what was necessary to redeem us. And it's called the gospel. The gospel word translates to good news because the gospel is good news. So then in Romans 1:16, and what I love about Romans 1:16 is that it's Romans. It's written to a Gentile church, not the Jewish people. It's writing it to a Gentile church, which is kind of like us. And here's what he says. I am not ashamed of this gospel, this good news about Christ. Why would he? I'm not ashamed about the biggest good news that's ever been given to mankind since the time that Adam sowed on fig leaves. It is the power of God at work saving everyone who believes. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Saving everyone. So there's a word from God that if you believe it, it'll save you by believing it. Saving everyone who believes. The Jew first, and also the Gentile. This good news, this gospel of Jesus Christ, tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish. How? By faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith, listen, church, that a righteous person has life. Today's message that I'm preaching to you on Palm Sunday literally can be called the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this gospel message reveals how mankind can be made right in God's sight, and fig leaves won't work. Salvation comes to us when we put our faith in something that God the Father did through Jesus Christ the Son. He did it. What I have to do is believe it and receive it by faith. And that brings up the dangerous truth that's going to be really heavy today. What I have to do is receive it by faith. But the problem is there's a dangerous thing going on in the American church today. Some have interpreted this faith thing to be an intellectual event. Some have interpreted, if I'm saved by God's grace through faith, then you better find out what faith means, because faith is what covers my shameful, unrighteous nakedness. So what is faith? What's the definition? Some people would like faith to be an intellectual event, which let me make it in its simplest form. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I believe God is real and Jesus is real. I'm going to ask you, is that faith? Do you think Adam and Eve believed that God was real? Yeah. When they walked up to him when they had fig leaves covering their nakedness, do you think they believed God's real? Yeah, I think they believe God's real. I'm sure Adam believed in the reality of God's existence, but there was still a problem with fig leaves. Many in the church today say They believe in the existence of God. Many in the church today say God is real, Jesus is real, that there really was a man 2,000 years ago named Jesus. They believe that in the reality of the name and the person and the physical existence. I'm asking you a question, and I want you to answer it to yourself, but answer true. Is that faith? Just intellectually, in my brain, I acknowledge the existence of God's reality, God's Son, Jesus. Is that faith? Is that saving faith? Believing in the existence of God the Father and Jesus the Son. Is that in itself faith, or is that in itself fig leaves? The problem in the garden was there were two words. There was a word from God and there was a word from the serpent. And they contradicted each other. So it would be real important that you understood what genuine saving faith is, right? It'd be really big. So which word was truth in the garden? The one that came from the Creator. I believe what I hold in my hand is the only physical source of absolute truth on the earth. And I'm going to read to you the definition of faith, and let's just test to answer the question, is believing in the existence that God is real, saving faith? In James 2:14. And by the way, I didn't write it, but I'm going to read it, and I believe it. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? What do you think? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye, have a good day, stay warm, eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. What's that mean? So just believing in the existence of God, that's not faith. It's not called faith. That might be your definition of faith, but I'm going to tell you, it's fig leaves. It's fig leaves. It's your idea that this is going to make you right with God. It won't work. It won't work. So you say faith by itself isn't enough unless it produces good deeds. It's dead. It's useless. Now, someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. Quit trying to make me have both. That quit trying to make me have both, I put that in there, by the way. But I say, James, under the Holy Spirit. Is this James under the Holy Spirit? I think so. Yeah, I do. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. You say you have faith, for you believe that there's one God. Guess why? Good for you. Even demons believe this and they tremble in terror. How foolish. How foolish. It's fig leaves. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? It's not salvation. He uses this. You believe, so if you're in the room today, please take this in the right way. If you believe in the existence of God and you believe in the existence of Jesus, but that's it. That's the whole definition of your faith. You have brought yourself up to the level of demons. That's James's position. You have just risen up to the point of being demonic because they believe in the existence of God. They believe in the existence of Jesus. They know that they're real, but they tremble in terror. Why? Because they're not redeemed. They have not been made right with God through faith. So it's a wonderful place to start. But it is not where this story ends. Listen carefully, because some will misquote me. James is not saying we are saved by works. That is not what this is about. James is not saying we're saved by our works, but he is saying that genuine faith always produces good works, because genuine faith brings the person of Christ inside of our surrendered heart. And when the person of Christ, the Holy Spirit, comes inside of this surrendered heart that met him at the cross, his seed is perfect. And his seed always produces fruit. Always produces fruit. Faith in Jesus replaces our fig leaves religious ideology. This is how Jesus, now that was James, and I believe James was full of the Holy Spirit when he wrote that. So there's Jesus in Luke 6:43. He takes it a step further. Jesus says, a good tree can't produce bad fruit. So if I'm the tree and Jesus enters me, I cannot produce bad fruit because he's the power in production now. He's reigning in me now. That doesn't mean I never sin. It means that the production of my life is good fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit. And a bad tree can't produce good fruit. Why? Because you don't have Christ in you. You haven't been born again, which means you're still under the dominion power of Satan, the liar. A tree is identified by its fruit. This is Jesus. A tree is identified by its fruit. Figs are never gathered from thorn bushes. Grapes are not picked from bramble bushes. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. The fruit of our lives reveals the content of our hearts. Do you understand something? What's coming out of you this last 6 weeks, this last 2 months, this last year? What's coming out of you is based upon what's in you. If our hearts have truly been born again or not is determined by what's coming out of you. A born-again heart lives to please God and bears much fruit from God. For God, a heart that has not been born again will seek after fig leaves to make peace with God, but fig leaves won't work. It is a matter of our heart, and God knows the truth about our heart today. Fig leaves aren't going to fool God. No man-made religious ritual, no man-made tradition is going to fool God. So here's the truth from Jesus, Matthew 22:37. Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart. This is not a part-time job. All your soul, all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. Faith. This is how Hebrews describes it. Chapter 11, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It's the evidence of things we cannot see. And through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. And by faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed by God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. Let me give you a test. Let me give you a faith test, okay? Here's a faith test. I want everybody to take it. Faith is described in by faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command. That God spoke and the universe was formed. There was nothing and then there was something. He made it out of nothing with his word. That he created man from the dust of the earth and breathed into him the breath of life. And he became a living soul, a living being. That's faith according to the truth. But you know, there's another word. There were two words in the Garden of Eden. There's another word now. You know what the other word is? Evolution. You know what evolution is? Evolution is a fig leaves religion that ends in death. Evolution says you came from nothing, there is nothing, and you're going to nothing. That's what evolution teaches. You go to any university in America, and what are you going to find? You're going to find that in 6 days God created the heavens and the earth? No, you're not going to find that. You're going to find the other word. And that's okay. You know, that's fine. I get it. That's the world. You know what the problem is? It's in the church. You come in here and you say you believe the truth and that you have faith that God exists and his son redeemed you. And yet you reject everything about the truth and its foundations. But I like that part. I like John 3:16. Fig leaves. It's fig leaves. Many today want to redefine faith as believing that God exists, but we must allow God's word to define it. In Hebrews 11:7, another world example of today, it was by faith that Noah built a large boat. You go over to University of Kentucky now, find all the academics and read that verse to them. What are they going to do? They're going to laugh at you. They're going to laugh at you. And it's okay. You know what? I'm fine with that being in University of Kentucky. I am not fine with that in the church. I'm not fine. Neither is he. It is by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, and he warned him about things that had never happened before. It's going to rain. And by his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes through faith. There is a righteousness that comes through faith. And what was that righteousness? God said, build a boat, I'll build a boat. Everybody's making fun of me, I'll still build a boat. Listen, if you're in the room today and you deny the flood, if you're one of those intellectuals produced by our public education institutions, and you're now smarter than God, you are covering your life with fig leaves and they will not work. You will meet him and experience the curse. Why? Jesus quotes Noah. Do you understand? I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe in the flood. Jesus quotes Noah. He says, in fact, that his return will be as it was in the days of Noah. Uh-oh. Did Noah think about building a boat, or did Noah build a boat? One is a fig leaf religion. The other one is called faith. One more. It was by faith. Go down to verse 8. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed God when God called him to leave home and go to another land. God would give him into his as an inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going, and even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there, what? By faith. For he was like a foreigner living in tents, and so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. Are you? I am. Did Abraham think about going to Mount Moriah with Isaac, or did Abraham go to Mount Moriah with Isaac? Which one's called faith? Do you think Abraham didn't believe in the existence of God? He believed in the existence of God. But believing in the existence of God led him to follow the word of God. There's a connection. Here's my closing. Fig leaves won't work. Anything besides genuine faith is futile, and you will surely die. And God knows right now the content of your heart. You might be faking out everybody in your life, but you are not faking him out. God knows right now if you are living a fig leaf life or a genuine faith life. And here's the test that nobody wants to take. Lord, Lord. It happens 3 times in the New Testament, and all 3 are bad news. When you see the word Lord, Lord back to back in the New Testament, run. It's bad news. It's bad news about those who live a fig leaf life toward God. It's not genuine faith. They were pretenders. Perhaps they believed that God exists, but they never came to meet God at the cross. They never came and denied themselves and took up a cross to follow him and became one, born again of the water and the Spirit, to become one with Christ. It was just an intellectual encounter. Yeah, I'll go to church on Palm Sunday. I'll go to church on Easter, but I'm not giving you my life. Matthew 7:21. Here's two of the warnings. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. This is Jesus speaking. Only those who actually do the will of my Father will enter. Anybody hear me? Many people are going to say, Lord, Lord, but that's not going to open the door of heaven. It's fig leaves. But only those who actually do the will of my Father will enter. On Judgment Day, many will say, Lord, Lord, there it is again. We prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me. Get away from me. You who break God's laws. Do you see it? On the day of judgment, many are going to say, Lord, 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 Lord. Why? We did this. We did that. We did this. We did that. We did this. We did that. It's fig leaves. It's fig leaves. It won't work. Not until it comes to you did Jesus on the cross. My faith is in what you did. My faith is not in what I did. My faith is what you did. And I believe that what you did redeems me and covers my nakedness. Matthew 25, I told you there was another one. This is the parable of 10 virgins. If you understand about the parable of 10 virgins, they all 10 had known that the bridegroom was coming in some way. But some prepared and had extra oil to go the distance. The others did not. Verse 10. And while they were gone to buy oil, there's a sound that came. Bridegroom's coming. Bridegroom's coming. Now, there's five that have extra oil, so they're staying right there. So when the door opens, I'm going through that door. The other five, they're like, well, I'd been planning on getting some oil, but you know what? Life's hard. Things are tough around my house. I figured I'd get some oil when there was time. But while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came. This is Jesus telling the story. Those who were ready, they went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. And later, the other five bridesmaids, they came back. Now they got oil. I got oil now. Took the fig leaves off. I got oiled up. All right? I got oil now. They stand outside the door calling, Lord, Lord, open the door for us. But he called back, believe me, I don't know you. So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or the hour of my return. Religion, fig leaves, never fosters a personal relationship or dependence or trust with Jesus. And by the way, do you think this keep watch comment is literal? Because I do. Keep watch, for you do not know the day or the hour of my return. So let me ask you again, church, who told you that you were naked before God, and what are you going to do about it? And I'll add a second part to the question. Are you in this story ready for the bridegroom to return? Because I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to apologize. I believe the return of the bridegroom is very, 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 very close. Are you ready for the bridegroom? When he returns, is he going to see you in fig leaves, or is he going to see you a person who has died to himself and been born again by the Holy Spirit presence of Christ in you? Which one? Today's invitation is based on Jesus' words to the church at Laodicea, and fig leaves won't work. Many believe this church at Laodicea represents the church that will be in place upon the earth when the rapture occurs. It's illustrative of the last church before the rapture. When the bridegroom comes and opens the door, five go in and five are left behind. So Revelation 3:15, the message, listen, the message to the church at Laodicea, to the church. I know all the things you do. You are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were one or the other. But since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. And you say, I'm rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. You don't realize that you are wretched and miserable, poor, blind, and naked. So I advise you to buy gold from me, gold that has been purified by fire. Then you'll be rich. Also buy white garments from me so you will not be ashamed by your nakedness, and ointment for your eyes so that you'll be able to see. I correct and discipline everyone I love, so be diligent and turn from your indifference. Look, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. And if you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. And anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he's saying to the church. Why did Jesus walk into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday? To cover your shameful nakedness and mine. Today I'm telling you that at one time we were all naked and covered with shame before God and fig leaves. Man-made religion and tradition won't work. I'm telling you the one thing that will work, the blood of the Lamb. It works perfectly and it works completely. The blood of the Lamb can cover your shameful nakedness and make you right with God today, this moment, this instant. But he will not force you to believe him. The fig leaf church that redefines faith of today has a form of godliness. Listen, there's a fig leaf church in America. It has a form of godliness and religion, but it has no power to save. It has no power to redeem. The Apostle Paul writes Timothy and he tells him about the last days fig leaf church. Do not be a part of this church. He says this, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there's going to be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride. And they'll love pleasure more than they love God. And they will act religious. It's fig leaves. But they will reject the power that could have made them godly. Stay away from people like that. What is that? Power. What is that? It's the Holy Spirit. To be born again. I'll ask Chad to come out for the invitation. I declare to you today, fig leaves won't work. Religion apart from the inhabitation of the Holy Spirit in your life, it won't work. And churches are filled with people. Listen, churches are filled with people that they act religious, but they reject the power. What is the power? You must die to yourself. You want to live, but you don't want to die. But if you try to retain control of your life, you're going to die. If you try to retain control of your life, you refuse to deny yourself, take up a cross, and you're going to die. You will stand before God naked and ashamed. Your sin will be uncovered and it'll be unredeemed and you will be lost forever. And you know what? God's mercy. Somebody told you. He put you here today. Somebody told you. The Holy Spirit's here today. Somebody told you. And what are you going to do? Who told you were naked and uncovered before God? Who told you? God's love told you. And God's love offered a perfect sacrifice. Blood, 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 blood. Blood, it must cover you. And for it to cover you, you must die so that you might live. You see, I'm convinced this, if I summarize the entire role of the church in the church age, what is it? To prepare people to meet God. today's message is to prepare you to meet God. If you meet him with religion and fig leaves, you will experience his curse, death, separation. You'll never enter the garden. But if you enter with, you meet him, the woman's seed has crushed the serpent's head, and a blood sacrifice was made to redeem you and cover your shameful nakedness. Jesus, if you meet him with those two Genesis 3 events, the gate of the garden will open and you will enter him. You'll get a new body. You have eternal life. And somebody told you. You don't have to believe it, but accept the responsibility of your choices. If you refuse to believe it, you refuse his offer. It's called faith. Father, in Jesus' name, redeem us. Have mercy on us. We are all sinners. We are all covered with shame. And apart from the blood of Christ, who crushed the serpent's head, we have no hope. Everything's like fig leaves trying to get made right with you. But today, by the blood of the Lamb, we are redeemed. We celebrate. We worship you. We celebrate who you are, what you did, and what you're about to do. And Father, as the bridegroom comes, may the bridesmaids be ready when the door opens. So Father, do what only you can do today. Draw people to you by your truth, by your word. In Jesus' name, amen. The invitation's open today.